Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of names together were about 120 men and brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. According to this scripture, we have here the assembly of the early church in Jerusalem. We're including women here because he mentioned specifically some of the women and the fact that there were women included in this gathering. And he says the number of names together were about 120. Now, that's a little bit startling if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you get to the book of Acts, and all of a sudden you show up at a major important meeting of the church where they're ordaining another apostle to replace Judas, and all of a sudden the number of names together is about 120? That's kind of surprising, since John the Baptist baptized multitudes of people. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were saved and baptized through the ministry of John the Baptist. And then Jesus himself spent 3.5 years of ministry preaching the gospel of the kingdom all the way up and down Israel, one side to the other. And the Bible says that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though he himself baptized not, but his disciples. The Bible is clear that John the Baptist won multitudes unto Christ and baptized multitudes, and that Jesus had even more people saved through his 3.5 year ministry, and even more people got baptized. And remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? That was 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And when Jesus baptized, or when Jesus fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves and 2 fishes, look, there were huge multitudes that were saved. They entered through the relatively straight gate of salvation. But wait a minute, where are they when things get tough? Where are they when persecution is there? Where are they when Jesus is crucified and when people are being arrested? Where are they when there aren't any loaves and fishes being handed out? When it comes to who the diehards were, when it comes to who actually showed up for church in season and out of season, the consistent, the faithful, the diehard church members in that church, there were 120 people in that church. There were 120 that were there on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, that were the serious, dyed-in-the-wool church members. That's kind of surprising, isn't it? All the multitudes, all the thousands of people that were reached through the ministry of Jesus Christ. But you know what's funny today is that people would look at a church like ours or other independent fundamental Baptist churches and they'll criticize them for being small. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, you guys supposedly won all these thousands of people to the Lord through soul winning. Where are they all? Who's heard that kind of talk before? Yeah, well, where are all these people that got saved out on soul winning? Well, let me ask you this. Why don't we bring John the Baptist in here, and why don't we bring Jesus in here, and you can rebuke and criticize their ministry since they claim to have won thousands of people to the Lord, and they claim to have baptized thousands, and they only had 120 in church. Well, hey, if we have 300 in church and we've been at it for 10.5 years here, that's not that bad. But it's these fools who don't want to win souls, and so they criticize people who do win souls. People who go out and roll up their sleeves and say, hey, we had 100 people saved, you know, because we had 100 people out soul winning all day or something. Hey, we had 200 people saved. We won all these people to Christ. They look at their own life, they look in the mirror, and they feel guilt and shame for doing nothing for the Lord. And so they have to justify their laziness and complacency by saying, oh, well, that soul winning's not real. Because look how there's only 120 in that service in Acts 1. I mean, isn't that just foolish? See, what people fail to understand is that just because you're saved, that doesn't mean you're consistent. That doesn't make you faithful. And let me tell you something. I guarantee you that the vast majority of people that are in this room right now are saved this morning. I know that there are some that are not saved, but I guarantee you that the vast majority of people that are here in this church this morning are saved, and they know they're going to heaven. They've entered into that narrow gate. They've entered into that straight gate. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that you're faithful and consistent in serving the Lord. And don't just be satisfied to say, well, I'm saved, and that's good enough. At least I'm going to heaven. No, God wants you now to take up the cross daily and follow Him. And yeah, you're going to go to heaven whether or not you do that. But we have a world out there that needs to hear the gospel, that has not entered into that narrow gate. We need to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that God's house may be filled. We need to roll up our sleeves and do the work. And let me tell you something. Okay, the church is the institution that God has ordained to accomplish that work and to accomplish that task. And that's who He used in Acts. And that's who He's going to use today. Churches, not just one church, churches.